And we are back for another episode of The Main Event. Today is episode 55, which is just crazy, Brian. Things just keep on moving along. And today on the show, we have another good one for you. I know I sound like a broken record every time,
but
we do.
Yeah, it's the same thing every time.
But we do. We have another great one for you. We have two guys that are actually going to be battling it out for the Premier MMA Championship welterweight belt in Christopher the Action Man Curtis, and he's going to be taking on Portland Pringle. That's going to be Saturday, May 27th at the Radisson Hotel in Covington, Kentucky. Again, Chris Curtis and Portland Pringle both on the show today. Also, one of our dear friends on the show once again is Devin Powell. Look forward to talking to him about what is going to be happening in his career as he continues to truck along. So, again, Brian, really excited to talk some more MMA.
Yeah, I wonder how the Action Man nickname came around. Maybe you should ask him
about
that.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do that. That should be interesting. What would you imagine? How could that happen?
He's going to be a big action hero fan, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But that should be a fun one, too. Portland Pringle, very bright young future in front of him, too. And again, as always, Devin Powell, one of our favorites. Back at the NEF 28 fight, we were able to talk with him a little bit and pick his brain. Of course, he was on hand to not necessarily give up his title, but to be a part of a new champion being crowned in. You could tell he really respects Ryan and John quite a bit from the battles he's had with John in the past, and then, of course, cross-training with the Youngs from time to time. He knows Ryan quite well, too. So I'm just interested to see what is next on the horizon for him. Like, will he get this fight? What will be his career path? Because I actually openly asked him, and we'll talk with him about that, too, later on. If the UFC gives him one more fight, and he loses that one, or if he wins and they just don't have the plans for him and they drop him, where's his career go from there? And he said, and we'll ask him again today, he's done. He doesn't need to fight, doesn't need to take the damage. He's got a wedding to prepare for and all that stuff. So he doesn't really necessarily need to take the beating. His gym's going great down in the southern part of the state and around that New England area. So there's no need for him to really go out there and put his body on the line. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say, but it's always so fun to watch him, especially a guy who's been fighting in Maine for so long to finally get to the break at the top of the top, and to see it just would end so quickly, it's a little disappointing, but maybe he's had a change of heart. We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what he decides to do, but hopefully he's going to get another crack in the UFC. We'll talk to him about that, and hopefully gets the job done and gets a victory and continues to pursue his lifelong dream. You know, if for some reason he doesn't, or if he does get another shot and he happens to lose, you know, he definitely has a bright future in coaching and guiding young people and following their dreams. So sometimes you just, you know, obviously Devin, he's a family man. He has his longtime fiance. He's getting married soon. Mm-hmm. He's already got, you know, a family right there ready made. So I mean, sometimes you think big picture, and you know, I'm sure whatever Devin decides, he's a great guy and it'll be the best thing for him and his family.
Absolutely. So looking forward to that one and another great show, echoing what Ryan's been saying throughout these first 55 episodes. Always have a great show. We're going to continue to do that and continue to do that as we move forward. Just a little programming note, Brian, though, we have a fun one coming your way next week, right?
Yeah, definitely. We have the Irish hand grenade, Marcus Davis, and Tim the Barbarian Boach, both confirmed, where we're going to have them on the program. Also, not completely confirmed just yet, but we're hoping that we're going to have Johnny Hendricks, Boach's opponent, on the show. So, and maybe that's the one where I break the streak and I say, oh, we got a crap show for you today. We just have Marcus, the Irish hand grenade, Davis, Tim Boach, and some Johnny Hendricks guy on the show.
Yeah, big rig. Who cares?
Might as well stop the feed. Don't listen to this one.
Skip over it. Go to the next one where we have actual good people on the show.
Right.
No, I don't think that's happening. We'll do that one time. Maybe we'll book really bad interviews.
Yeah. Or maybe what we'll do is, like, what's that restaurant that's down in Boston?
Oh, Dick's. Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah, where they treat you really bad. And that's what we'll do to all of our guests. We'll just come on and be like, I'd like to say thanks for coming on the show, but actually, we're not thankful because you suck.
Kind of like what you do to Ryan Sanders every interview.
Yeah, right, exactly. You jerk.
We could actually do that, but we could more or less do that with people we know quite well who would get the joke a little bit. Maybe like a Ryan Sanders, he could actually do it as long as, yeah, you feel comfortable doing that.
Oh, I got no problem. Look, me and Ryan have had enough back and forth now where I feel comfortable with him. Look, I even went over to Young's and did a little light sparring once. We were doing some boxing drills, and I know for a fact—
He
gave me the crazy eyes, but he took it easy on me. So I'm not worried about Ryan teeing off on me at all, so—
Yeah, we also have some great things on the horizon, too. Not just this episode and the next one, but eventually during the summertime, we are going to go down to Topsom, and we are going to do some live shows, which will be recorded live, but we'll do a couple of them from First Class MMA and get some of their fighters on there, too. And maybe we're going to do the same. Maybe we can go and it's not as hard to do it at with the Young's MMA and the Titan Athletics presence, but maybe we'll do something similar to that, and we'll go around the state and we'll just do live shows and record them and send them to the wonderful people who listen to this product.
Well, I also spoke to Travis Lazat of Western Mass MMA, and he told me that he got the okay from his boss at the When Pigs Fly restaurant in Kittery, and they have a back room that would be awesome to do a show in, and it's completely closed off. It overlooks, has a great view, glassed in. He told me that we could go down there and maybe cover a CES card and break that down with him, and then maybe get a little shopping at the outlets afterwards.
I knew where you were heading. I was like, he's going to try to go shopping. He's going to get some Under Armour stuff. I got you. Look, you're wearing it right now. It's looking good.
Under Armour and Nike outlets are right there. Also, I like my favorite jeans are American Eagle, and they got an American Eagle outlet. So, look, man, if you like fashion like I do, Brian, you need to like get into this.
You have to look in the part, you know. You have to attract a lady in your life.
Oh, that is right. I have a girlfriend.
See how I noticed I just put lady there. Yeah, just wanted to make sure. Thank you for also clarifying that one.
Because you'd have to answer to her.
Yeah, Katie, I did not mean anything like that. I said lady. I stopped short at making it plural. So, I covered my butt, so please don't kick my ass. All right, well, let's get in the show today because it's going to be a fun one, so we don't want to wait around.
We'll be right back with Devin Powell. The Sea Dog Brewing Company is located on 26 Front Street in Bangor, right next to the Penobscot River. You can call them at 947-8009 or visit them at seadogbrewing.com. The Sea Dog is doing unbelievable things for the MMA community here in Bangor and in Maine, for that matter. Not only do they sponsor our show, and we're very, very grateful for that, but they also sponsor five unbelievable professional mixed martial artists, including the Ryan Sanders, Josh Harvey, Bruce Boyington, and Aaron Lacey, all of Young's MMA, right here in Bangor, Maine. All great fighters, all unbelievable careers ahead of them. They're very, very young. They have unbelievable things that they're going to do here in the sport. Why don't we all just rally around them and help push their careers to that next level? Well, that's what the Sea Dog is doing. Not only do they sponsor our homegrown, local-based fighters, they also sponsor former NEF lightweight champion and now UFC fighter Devin Powell. That just goes to show you the Sea Dog is growing with mixed martial arts here in the community, and they're helping us do our show as well. So thank you to the Sea Dog for everything that you do, and do yourself a favor, go down to the Sea Dog and support them. Get one of their delicious beers on tap. Get a Blue Paw. That's what I would get. They're the best beer that they have there, or get one of their unbelievable entrees or appetizers that they have day in and day out. Again, the Sea Dog is located on 26 Front Street in Bangor, or you can call them at 947-800. The Sea Dog. Back on the program is the former NEF lightweight champion who last competed at UFC Fight Night 103 when he lost a very close fight in his UFC debut to Drakkar Close. Devin Powell is back on the main event. Thank you as always, bud.
Hey there, how are you?
Really good. It was nice to see you last weekend at NEF 28. How did you like that event, and how did it feel to come back to your old stomping grounds in the Colisée?
It was awesome. I always like going over to NEF. It was a fun time.
What did you think of the fights overall?
I thought they were good. I think there was this one weird fight where a kid got tapped out and he came back because the ref didn't see it, and TKO the kid. We had a fighter that had a tough break. He was he got hurt, and the ref's job's tough, but he seemed to be okay. But you know, they protected him, and that's his job. So he got kind of an early stoppage. So that one was a little rough. The Harvey looked insane, as he always does. That was a tough one to watch. I like Derek a lot as well, but you know, Harvey's on his way up, and it's a tough fight to take. You know what you sign up for, so that was rough for sure. What else do we have for pros aside from the main event?
Matt Denning and Josh Parker. That was an interesting matchup.
Yeah,
that was good. Matt needed that. You know, he came out. He's attacking over and over. Parker's strong and tough and durable body, so it's not an easy one for anyone. You know, like a Maynard through and through, it looks like. But Denning got his neck and he got the finish, so it's good for him for sure. Welcome back to the winning column. And then the main event was awesome. You know, I'm really happy for Ryan as a fan. It was, you know, I wish we get to see a little bit more, to be honest, because it was a great scrap. But it's cool seeing Ryan walk away with the belt. And I would love to see him get that next step, you know. And I think he's very deserving. I think UFC or Bellator and whatnot don't always, you know, they don't always pick guys just because of how good they're doing or whatever. You know, it's not always a simple equation. So hopefully we can make it happen. I made a post and tried to get people to share it and whatnot, and we'll kind of see if anything surfaces.
Yeah, Devin, talk about how good you think Ryan can be. Obviously, you're talking about the UFC in the same sentence as Ryan Sanders. What is his ceiling? What do you think he can do in the time he has left in his pro career?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's ever talked about slowing down, but, I mean, he seems to keep pushing forward. He's been tested by some really tough guys, and I get to train with him before my last fight. We've trained a handful of times now, and he's definitely 100% the real deal and deserving of being there. You know, I've trained at American Top Team now, and I've trained with guys and that are at that level, and I'll tell you 100%, he's harder to submit than a lot of those guys for sure. You know, and that's just talking about jiu-jitsu. You know, he's got great striking, it's unorthodox. He's got a good push kick and a good high kick, and he's a good fighter. He's a great fighter, and I think he definitely could show his belonging if he gets that, you know, that call. You know, I think people got to continuously post about him and tag Sean Shelby, Dana White, all that, and keep putting his name down the throat. They already saw him fight, and he did well. He won. They already know who he is. They talked to him. I think if he keeps doing it, he can't deny it.
No, absolutely. And we talked with him a little bit. We know the weight cut's a little bit difficult, but do you think 155 might be his best route to get to that next level?
I don't know. Are we on the same show? Is he doing tonight or today?
No, we had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, it's a really personal thing. You know, the thing that sucks is, like, I feel like probably Ryan and myself would love to be at 170, and we're kind of, like, on the bigger side of 55. And not even for me, for weight. I think it's my frame. It's tough to cut the weight. I know guys that are a little bit stockier can get way heavier than me night of the fight, but it's just, I'm pulling from my bird bones rather than pulling from lean muscle, the water. So I really don't know what he's thinking career-wise, if he thinks he could go up to 170. I've heard people say, do I think they could go to 55? And I'm like, absolutely not. I could never go to 45. I would never even try it. So... Yeah,
and you and Ryan are actually fairly similar in your build and stature and everything. So I got to imagine that just making that cut to 55 is hard enough. If you continue to pursue with your career and you get another fight in the UFC and you win and you keep on rolling, would you stay at 155, or would you ever entertain the idea of going up to 170 just to avoid the headaches of the weight cut?
I mean, 100%. I think right now that I'm not young by any means. I'm 29, but I think I'm young enough that I can keep at it in this weight for a little bit longer. And I think that in my low level where I'm at right now, as far as I'm only getting my second fight, I mean, it's going to be a tough fight. So it's not saying the kid I'm fighting is low level, but I think that if I can't win some fights now, then I have no reason to consider going to 170. You know, I think if I can do really well, then the weight cut continues to be difficult and something that I can't fathom doing anymore, then I can consider bumping up. But honestly, my last weight cut was my best ever. The UFC is insane with the way they treat you in a good way. Well, I have nothing but praise for them. They basically rent out the entire downstairs to a big hotel, and they have training rooms padded out with water and towels, and they turn on the heat, so it's basically like training all fight week in the sauna. And they have scales that are certified right there for you to check at all times. So it's a very convenient place to be doing it. And I bought a portable sauna my last time, so it was a cakewalk. I mean, that's in comparison to some other weight cuts.
Yeah, I can imagine making it to that level of the UFC. I mean, they pull out all the stops to take care of their guys. What we definitely want to dive into discussing the exciting news of your next fight. But before we do that, Devin, I definitely want to get your thoughts on your first fight for the UFC with Drakkar Close. Now, obviously, the outcome didn't go the way that you wanted it to, but you didn't get finished. You didn't get submitted. You were in there for all three rounds, and you really came to fight. A lot of people were impressed with your performance. So tell us a little bit about that whole experience and how were your nerves leading up to it?
Yeah, it was great. You know, everything was perfect except for me not getting my hand raised. I trained incredibly hard, as I always did, I had an opponent who was a submission grappler that had all his wins by submission, and then 3 weeks notice they switched it and they gave me the number one kid from Michigan, who was a state champ wrestler, but he was undefeated with all knockout wins basically, who at the time for a while now has been training in Arizona, which is the state I fought in, and he trains with Benson Henderson every day at the lab, and he had like 3 or 4 teammates fighting on the same card as him. So kind of like I got thrown into a shark tank. It felt like, so my job is not picking fights. My job is accepting fights and winning fights. So it was definitely a big change, and I didn't get the job done, but I don't regret anything as far as, you know, my preparation or, what I did inside there. I can say I wish I did this or that, but you know, when you're in a fist fight, it's very hard even to listen to your coaches when it's all going on. So I did my best, and I can keep my head up high because of that, but it definitely left me hungry. I don't want to lose decisions in the UFC. I don't want to win decisions in the UFC. I want to finish people. You know, I want to be somebody that people look at and they don't want to pick up the phone call when they're asked to fight me, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. That makes 1,000%, especially where you're at right now. You're at the pinnacle, and some exciting things that could very well be in your future here. Now, I'm curious, did you get a chance to talk to Dana after the fight? And if so, what did he tell you?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I don't think he was at that fight for whatever reason. There's a few that he doesn't make it to. That one, I didn't see him at all. I saw Sean Shelby. He kind of talked to us all at weigh-ins. I could be wrong, but I really don't think he was there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you get a chance to see him next time out. Obviously, it's been kind of under wraps, but do you know who your next opponent is now?
Yeah, as of right now, it's looking like Darrell Borcher is going to be my next opponent. He's 12-2. He's a CPFA champ. Last fight was a loss to Khabib Nurmagomedov, who's obviously not good at all. but yeah, he's tough, and he's calling me out, not in a negative way. We don't have some crazy Twitter battle. He just thought he said I would be a good fight for him, and my goal is to make sure that's not the case at all. So I basically tweeted back and said, send the contract, you know, and wherever the bosses choose it, you know, I'll just make sure I show up to work on time. So they kind of like that. Looks like we're going to be fighting in Oklahoma City now.
Oh, very cool. Now, is this the same guy that was talking trash via Twitter? You were just saying that he was doing it in more of a respectful way. Was there another guy that was calling you out in more of a disrespectful way?
Oh, no. Maybe. I'm not good at Twitter. a lot of people were saying some crap about me. You know, I was on the Dana White show, and it's easy to type behind a keyboard whenever you see somebody that has something that went well for them. And then especially if I didn't get the win via decision, you know, they're even happier to start talking trash to me.
Right. Yeah, well, it's going to be awesome for all of us Mainers and everyone here in New England to see you climb back into the octagon. Now, you said it's in Oklahoma City. Do you know what time frame that's going to be?
The time frame? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to dig that up because I'm sure that they at least have the date of when that's going to be. I'll see if Brian can pull that up right now. But so Devin, we've got a chance to talk to you down in Lewiston at the NEF 28 event. You mentioned to us a little bit about what your plans are when you are eventually done fighting. Does the transition to coaching and running your gym at Nostos, is that something that you really look forward to eventually and really trying to maybe giving your body a break from this grueling sport?
Yeah, you know, it's bittersweet. Part of me is super excited, but part of me is also looking at this chance I have and thinking that I have every reason to get the things that these other guys have gotten. Not in like a jealous or envious way, but in an excited and motivated way. You know, I believe with hard work and promoting yourself properly, you can get the things that you truly want. And I'm going to just keep, you know, the foot to the throttle right now until it is my time. And I'll know that, and it's not yet. So I'm loving coaching and training. I have a great coaching staff, and I have a lot of good friends and teammates from other gyms that come down and train with me. And whenever I need to slow down a little bit for a fight camp, I have people pick up some of my classes so I can kind of focus a little bit more on myself. But yeah, the coaching thing forces me to stay sharp. I make sure if I'm teaching somebody, I want to make sure that it's perfect. I don't want to kind of second guess things that I'm trying to show people and expect them to go into a cage and get into combat and it being a flawed technique. That's, you know, it's a very selfish, easy route out. I'm never looking to do that. So every time I show something, you know, I do research. I find new things that I really like, and I practice them. And even in all the classes I teach, I train during them. I do the drills whenever I can, which is 90% of the time. And then I spar in sparring sessions, and I roll every single night in jiu-jitsu. So I get plenty of work in. It's just a little bit different than a lot of fighters. But it's good, you know. Whenever I kind of got into that fighter feel, the traditional fighter feel when I was at American Top Team, and it was great. But I hit pads a total of 2 times. Each time was because my buddy Charles Rosa asked if you could get one of his coaches to help me out a little bit. And then it's pretty much you go, and the bodies are absolutely insane. They're all so talented, but a lot of it was just going in and a tiny bit of drilling, but then you just going after each other. And it was great to work with that kind of talent, but a lot of times you kind of just told what to do and you do it. But as a coach, you're the one thinking about why things have to be done and why they work. You answer a lot of those questions. So,
well, I think regardless of whatever your future holds, it's going to be bright regardless if it's 2, 3, 4, 10 more fights in the UFC or if you transition into coaching whenever that time comes. I know you're going to be doing great things. And let me assure you, my friend, you're only 29 years old. You have plenty of time left. I haven't put my body through the ringer like you have as a professional mixed martial artist, but I can assure you that you're still young enough where you have quite a window left to pursue those MMA dreams.
Thank you.
Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Let's make sure we get you back on before your next scrap in the UFC.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it anytime.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good day. We'll talk soon.
All right, cool. Take care.
Of course, this is the main event. Thank you very much for listening, but be sure to keep in touch with us anywhere you go. You can do so by going to Podomatic.com and typing in the main event. You can search and, you know, you can subscribe as well, because that will make sure you get the latest episode whenever we post it. It's right there. It's easy to do. And while we're on the topic of subscribing, go to iTunes right now. Type in the T-H-E, main event, spelled M-A-I-N-E, into the search bar when you're looking for podcasts. We will pop up. You can see mine and Ryan's beautiful mug there on the graphic. Subscribe there as well, and be sure to leave us a comment, because you know what? That makes us know that we're doing things good, we're doing things badly. We will change for you, because we love you here at the main event. We try to bring you the best quality mixed martial arts content in the nation. Not just here in the Bangor area, not just in the state of Maine, not in New England, not in the United States, not even the world, but the galaxy too. You could call us guardians, potentially, of the galaxy of mixed martial arts. Do not sue me. But anyways, subscribe on iTunes, Podomatic, and also be sure to like our Facebook page as well. Give us a comment. We can use your feedback as well. You can search the main event in the Facebook search bar as well and find us. Keep in touch with us anywhere you go, and be sure to get the latest content from Ryan Jarrell and myself, Brian Stackpole, here at the main event show. You can hate me now, QB, but I won't
stop now. Really, because I can't stop now. Joining us now is a professional mixed martial artist on a 3-fight win streak who will step into the cage next Saturday. May the 27th, so it's a couple Saturdays from now, at the Radisson Hotel in Covington, Kentucky, when he takes on Chris Curtis for the Premier MMA Championship 170-pound belt. Portland Pringle is on the main event. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I can't wait to see you get in there and tangle it up with Chris Curtis. That should be one heck of a fight. We'll definitely dive into that here soon. But I want to talk a little bit about how you got your start in MMA. You made your pro debut in June of 2013, I believe. And for our listeners who don't know your journey as a mixed martial artist, please tell us a little history on yourself and how you got to the point you are now as a champion.
Well, yeah, I definitely started my amateur career probably about late 2011 is when I had my first amateur fight. But, you know, I've always followed the UFC since I was a kid, you know, and I've always wanted to do it. But, yeah, I started training at Four Seasons in Lexington, Kentucky. I was helped out by Michael O'Donnell and Gerald Reed and Junie Browning. For a lot of my fights. And, I've been doing it for, about 8-7 years almost. And it's been a long journey. I was one of those guys who I felt like I started kind of late. So I took a lot of fights. You know, I felt like I had to rush my career almost, you know. So I took a lot of fights I probably shouldn't have. But, you know, I kind of smartened up now and pacing myself now and not necessarily picking smart fights, because I don't want to, you know, I want to fight the best. I don't want to have a quote-unquote easy road, you know what I mean? I want to test myself now.
What is it about MMA that you love so much? Is it the competition? Is it just getting in there and going toe-to-toe with another guy and seeing who's the baddest dude that night?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it, man. And, I mean, quite to be honest, man, when I first, you know, saw the UFC, you know, it was open weight, and that was more intriguing than anything, you know. It's like, let's just see who's the best fighter, period, no matter what weight class they're in. But, of course, they changed the rules, and the weight classes are good and stuff. But, yeah, man, it's mano y mano, man, one-on-one. And, you know, if you lose, you're the only one to blame, and I can live with that.
Now, speaking of weight classes, you fought at 155, 170, and even as a middleweight, as an amateur, what weight do you normally walk around at? Is there a cut that you have to make to get to 170?
Yeah, I normally walk around about 185. Yeah, so like when I started my amateur career, that's what I fought at, was 185. You know, I took my first five fights as an amateur at 185. So, and once the guys, you know, start getting a lot bigger, like, you know, you could tell they're cutting down from maybe 220 maybe. So I was like, I might have to change that up. So I tried 170 for like my eighth amateur fight, and yeah, it was good. It was a good weight cut. It's actually the most I've ever cut, like 8 pounds of water. Like I got my diet down now to where I don't cut a lot. I get down to 170 pretty easy.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the weight cutting issue and all the different weight classes that are out there nowadays. I trained at Team Irish under the Irish hand grenade, Marcus Davis, who was a former welterweight and lightweight in the UFC.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
That's right, and he I remember him telling me when later in his career when he was at 170, he would walk around at 220 pounds and cut to get to 170, which is insane to me to think that that you can actually make that cut. But you know, it's really interesting, and then you see all the issues now with weight cutting, and you think about people's health. Is that something that you're going to consider as you get a little bit older and maybe not worry about weight cutting and just fight at a weight that you walk around at? Is that something that you ever thought about?
Yeah, that's something I'm hoping for, and I could tell that's what they kind of want people to do is kind of, you know, they don't want people making these extreme weight cuts. And like I said, honestly, now, man, I probably cut maybe 3 to 4 pounds of water because I've always kind of been conscious about that. Like, it just doesn't even sound healthy. So,
yeah,
you know, I usually come in to smaller guys in all my fights. It's no problem for me, though. I don't really care about size, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in the end, you're going to get in there, and you know, usually the more talented guy will rise to the occasion on every night. But you know, again, the thing with MMA is there's so many talented guys out there nowadays that you obviously need to take every little thing into consideration before you step in, especially at the level that you're at now.
Yes, for sure.
Now, tell us a little bit about the camp that you're training out of now, and how has this camp been as you're getting ready to take on Curtis?
Oh, man, it's excellent, man. You know, I got the good thing about my gym is we actually got quite a few southpaws, especially guys that just do boxing. And I know Chris Curtis, he likes to throw kicks and stuff too, but he primarily likes to box. So that's pretty good, man, because like I said, I train with a boxer who's almost the exact same size as Chris Curtis. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of boxing, which is something I already did anyway. But, you know, I've definitely been training more towards what I think are his weaknesses. So, yeah, to me, it's going well, man. I've known Chris Curtis for a while. I've known about him, and I'm sure he's got better, you know what I mean, as the fight's going. But, you know, I have a pretty good idea of what he wants to do. So it's just honestly nothing that I've never seen before, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But, yeah, he's definitely a good fighter, though. I'm not saying that he's. This is why I took the fight, because he's a good one. He's a good fighter.
Right. Obviously, you want to test yourself against the best and you know, obviously progress your career. I'm guessing your ultimate goal here is to maybe one day make the ranks of a Bellator or UFC one day.
Yes, sir.
How close do you think you are to that?
Man, you know, with my last fight, you know, I fought a guy from America Top Team, and I was able to submit him in the second round. And, you know, I feel like as long as I keep getting guys like that, you know, I think I'm pretty close, maybe one or two wins away, you know, was what I'm thinking, if I keep fighting high caliber guys anyway.
You ever thought about maybe trying to pay attention when they're going to do the next Dana White looking for a fight show and try to get on a card where you can compete in front of Dana White and Matt Serra and Dean Thomas?
You know, I've never thought to you know, look that up or anything, because I guess I'm one of those guys that kind of believes that they already kind of, I don't know if it's already set up, but, you know, I don't know how that works, but maybe it's something I should look into.
Well, it couldn't hurt, you know. They actually came to we do this show out of Bangor, Maine, and they came to Bangor, Maine, and did a show this past summer in 2016, and they actually signed one of the guys, and he's already made his UFC debut in Devin Powell. So you know, it couldn't hurt. It could start to you could impress him enough, or you get a contract.
Yeah, that definitely sounds good. I definitely need to look into that.
Now, as you're approaching this this big title fight with Chris Curtis, I'm curious what your normal training schedule is like. Obviously, it takes a lot of conditioning and everything to get to the point where you're at right now. Run us through a normal day and week in the life of yourself when you're getting ready for a big fight like this.
Well, you know, I get up early in the morning and I do some kind of cardio every morning, because for me, it's more about maintaining, you know, my weight and staying, you know, treating my body well. I don't want to overdo it, and obviously don't want to underdo it. So, yeah, I just start off the morning with the, you know, a couple of miles running, man, and then I get in the gym in the afternoon and mix it up with the guys. And, honestly, like, I don't want to fight this guy, you know what I mean? I don't want no injuries. And it's all about just conditioning and staying healthy, man, because like I said, I understand you got to train for certain people's, you know, what they like to do. But, you know, I think I'm at that point right now where, like I said, I kind of know what he wants to do. So it's just all about maintaining my weight, staying healthy, and making sure I'm healthy enough to show up for the fight.
And you feel like you said that you know what he wants to do. Where do you believe that you hold the big advantages here in this fight? Where are you going to shine?
I think it's going to be the wrestling if I feel like I have to take it there, you know, because I'm all for standing up. You know, it's kind of actually rare that I can go into a fight with somebody where I believe he's not going to try to take me down. But, you know, he could surprise me. But I feel like, you know, he's a stand-up guy, so I like to do both. I like to, you know, we all can't act like we don't see it. You know, if you stand up with a guy and he catches you with a good shot, and you feel like the stand-up game ain't going your way, you got to switch it up, you know what I mean? And I'm prepared to switch it up.
Now, we've seen so many people in mixed martial artists nowadays that have a wrestling base. How important do you think that is when you get to the highest of levels, which you're at right now, competing for a title? Obviously, you just said everyone likes to see you stand and bang, but when it comes right down to it, a lot of fights end up on the ground. Do you feel like your wrestling ability is just something that's going to separate you from a lot of guys that are in your position?
Yes, I honestly do. More because, you know, I'm a lot more jiu-jitsu oriented now. I kind of know how to mix it in with my MMA wrestling, is what I like to call it, because, you know, I didn't do any wrestling in school. But, being able to actually look for submissions and stuff like that, man, as I'm taking you down, I'm very conscious of that now, and I think that's pretty cool. So I definitely, you know, think he's going to have to worry about submissions, ground and pound, and stand up, you know. Yeah. That's what I aim to be, you know. I want to be a complete fighter. If not, there's no need to, you know, get to the big stage, because we all see the champions, they're all well-rounded, you know.
Absolutely.
You have to be.
Absolutely. And as the sport continues to grow, you need to be proficient in every single area of the fight game. And I'm looking at your history here on Tapology, and your last couple of fights here, you've actually got round one and a round two submission, both chokes over JD, I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name, and Caleb Fickert. But also looking at your previous fights too, quite a bit of knockouts. So you your straight statement is very true. You have to be proficient in everything. And you certainly are.
Thank you, man. That's exactly what I've aimed for. And I was happy to see that my coach recognized, you know, I had an earlier submission, but it was kind of like, you know, I just took it because he gave it to me. But my last two wins, I set up the submission. So, and he recognized that. And, you know, I was able to get my blue belt in jiu-jitsu. And, yeah, it was pretty cool, man. And I like that, though. I like being able to threaten people wherever we're at.
Yeah, and again, this is a high-profile fight. Chris Curtis is the 170-pound champ for CES, and you're going to be taking him on for the Premier MMA Championship welterweight belt. Give us a little prediction, Portland. How do you see this fight ending?
You know, I definitely I see it ending, you know, maybe a second round, probably, you know, man, a rear naked choke is what I'm going to predict. The second round, third round, rear naked choke.
Well, it's definitely been a pleasure having you on the show today. We look forward to the big fight. Before we let you go, is there anybody you'd like to thank that helped you prepare for this big fight?
Yeah, I definitely want to thank my training partners like Steve and Bell and Travis Connor and my coaches, Mike O'Donnell and Gerald Reed, man. I thank all them guys, man, and my gym and the whole Four Seasons family. Thank everybody.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to the fight, and let's have you back on in the future at some point.
Yes, sir.
The Sea Dog Brewing Company proudly presents to you every single week the main event show. The Sea Dog Brewing Company is one of our favorite locations, located on Front Street in Bangor. It is your place for fine food, dining, friends, fun, music. I can go on and on forever. And again, go get the Blue Paw. It is my absolute favorite. Ryan and I might have one right after the show because, you know what, I'm thirsty for a nice blueberry ale from the Sea Dog. But you know what they have coming your way at the end of this month. May 22nd, the quintessential American sports writer, one of the legends in the game, Bob Ryan, formerly of the Boston Globe, will be coming to the Sea Dog Brewing Company in Bangor for an event where you can ask the legend questions about sports. You can ask him a Larry Legend question. Maybe you want to find out about how Larry Bird was to deal with. Maybe about the Red Sox back in the day. Get his thoughts on what's going on in the sports landscape as well. Bob Ryan will be at your disposal at the Sea Dog Brewing Company in Bangor. Tickets are on sale now. You can go pick them up online or go check out the Sea Dog in person and get your space for this wonderful event coming up on May 22nd with the quintessential American sports writer and a good friend of myself as well, Bob Ryan. So go check it out today and go visit the Sea Dog for all your food and dining needs as well, located at Front Street in Bangor.
Joining us now is the reigning CES welterweight champ who will fight next Saturday, May the 27th, so it's actually a couple weeks from now, at the Radisson Hotel in Covington, Kentucky, when he takes on Portland Pringle for the Premier MMA Championship 170-pound title. Chris, the Action Man Curtis, is on the main event. Thank you for being here.
What's up, guys, man? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Definitely looking forward to seeing you get in there and compete next against Portland on the 27th of May. Now, for any of our listeners that don't know your story, please give us a little bit of background as to how you got into MMA and got to the point where you're at right now.
Man, it's unfortunately, I don't have any cool, tragic backstory. Like, I don't have, like, you know, some people grew up in, like, war-torn countries or drugs and all that crap. Nah, man, I'm just a kid from the suburbs. I always liked to fight, always liked martial arts and everything. I got into boxing when I was younger, and as I got older, I'm just like, man, I had a choice between finishing college or beating people up. And I was like, you know what? You know, I can finish college at 60. I don't want to beat people up for X amount of time, and I want to, you know, what's the point of getting old without some scars? So I was like, screw it, you know, I'm going to fight full time. And here I am.
Oh, well, you're clearly doing a great job for yourself at this point in your career. Tell us, how did you get the nickname the Action Man? That's cool. I really like that.
It's great. It has absolutely nothing to do with fighting. I've had the Action Man nickname for a few years, and I actually got that because when I was 16, I was at this girl's house, and you know, my buddies were being a lookout for a dad. And, they want him to change, and dad pulls up. And they're screaming, like, go, go, go. So my only real choice was to dive out of a second-floor window. And my thought was, you know, it's like the Crime Mix cartoon. I could jump, catch the tree branch, and let myself down. I jumped, tree branch broke, like, fell, like, twisted an ankle, like, broke a toe. But I hit the ground, did a roll, and took off running. It was an old Action Man cartoon, and the nickname's been there since.
Wow. So wait a second. Who was this dad? Was it, like, Chuck Liddell or something?
I don't know. I was 16. But I didn't want to like get into a fight with this girl's father. I'm just like, he wasn't overly scary, but I was, you know, I was like, yeah, some fights are better not, you know, better off not having. So
you pick and choose.
Don't
want
to run away.
Yeah, you took one right out of my playbook too. I'm more of a flight than a fight unless I need to fight. So yeah, I completely understand. And hey, it led to a pretty cool nickname. So
yeah, I've had a nickname for like over 15 years now, so it worked out.
That's fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit about where you're training right now, and how are the guys and the coaches there? What do they think of that nickname? How's the parallel to your MMA career with the Action Man?
Well, right now, I usually split my camps between out here, Sunnyside, and Kentucky. I do most of my last camps, actually, my last four camps, but then all out at Team West in California.
Oh, yeah.
With Sam Alvey and Hendo and those guys. It's been a great one. But I'm doing this one at home. I've spent most of the last year, in California, away from my family every day. So I figured it'd be nice to do one at home, stay here and do it. Some training locally. But everybody just gets a kick out of it. Like, it's such a weird name. But if you know anyone that knows me knows it, I think I'm a superhero or supervillain, whatever. But I live my life based off the comic books and cartoons, so it fits pretty well.
Well, do you have a favorite superhero that you follow? Is there someone that you like more than the others?
Let's see. Definitely have to lean more towards Thor, just because I am I do wish I was a Viking really bad, and I'm a big fan of Norse mythology, and Thor is just all about fighting. Like, he'll do things, but he's all about fighting. So Thor is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm a big in the anime manga head, man. Like, One Punch Man and it's hard to believe I'm an adult, realistically.
Well, it's tough, when you got to grow up. I mean, sometimes you don't want to get rid of some of those childhood fantasies and those dreams. For me, I was always a Superman guy because my last name is Jor-El, and Superman is the son of Jor-El. So, for me, it was just natural.
I wish you could see my phone. Zod symbol, the House of Zod symbol on my phone right now.
Really?
Man. Dude, yeah. Zod is the man.
I mean, I don't like to pull favorites, but I think you've won me over here.
Yeah, Brian himself, too. There's so many people around this area, fighters included, that love superheroes, that really get into it and try to, but they just kind of like almost adopt that type of persona or that personality. Because honestly, to do what you guys do, to step into the cage and perform in front of tons of people that are around there, it has a superhero-like quality to do that, because not everyone can do it. And it takes a special kind of person. Would you agree?
I mean, definitely. There used to be the misconception, like, all fighters are, like, crazy, violent meatheads. No, it's not true at all, man. Most of us are pretty smart. But I say 98% of us grew up watching Dragon Ball Z, playing Tekken. And in our minds, you couldn't tell us, like, we can't be, a Daku. We can't be Vegeta or Goku. We can't be, we're European Street Fighter. And we never gave up on that dream. So we're like, let's just become fighters.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the truth, and it's a really interesting story. This is Brian's over there smiling right now because he's
even
enjoying
more
this so much.
Just knocked the
yeah,
mic
just
out
knocked
of
the microphone out of my hands. Chris, tell us a little bit about is there a certain person in your life? I know you're splitting camps right now. You've been out to Team Quest. Now you're at home in Kentucky. Is there a certain person that has been kind of like a role model to you so far in your MMA career?
It's weird, man. I came up, when I first started training, I came up through Vision MMA at Cincinnati, and I kind of came up under Roger Bowen, the guy from the Strike Force UFC guy. He kind of led me through my earlier career time, but now, as I've gotten to where I am, I mean, Sam Alvey has been probably one of the greatest guys I've ever met. When I started training in California, me and his family took me in, they're like, hey, live with us, everything else, and I've always thought I've known so much about fighting, but like Sam's really been just kind of a blessing for me, man. Like, where you don't know what you, I always tell people, you don't know what you don't know in fighting. And then, I thought I knew a lot. And like, Sam's just a guy who, even though he only wants to hit you with the right hook, he knows more about fighting than anybody gives him credit for. And he's like, with my diet and everything else and the way I approach fighting, it's been a huge blessing for me, man. Like, Sam and all of his family, it's been a huge blessing. I've definitely learned a lot in this last year, 2 years.
Well, it's funny you should bring up Sam because he actually competed on the UFC card that was here where we broadcast from, and he was in town for like a week or so, and he came to the restaurant in which we've broadcast from in the past, and the people here could not have loved him anymore. Him and his wife were just absolute awesome people, too. So it's kind of funny how it all works out, and again, our kudos to Sam, too. He's just such a nice guy.
Dude, Alvies are probably some of the best people I've met in my entire life, man. Like, I love them to death. I consider them family. They're just some of the his greatest experience for me is meeting, being able to, you know, like be part of that. So definitely something that's a game changer.
Yeah, do us a favor and mention to him that we'd love to have him on the show sometime soon, because I've both Brian and myself have always been a fan of Smiling Sam Alvey, and again, we'd love to have him on, so please do that when you get the chance.
No problem. I promise you he will do it. He loves being interviewed. He's pushing it. He's just that guy. The smile.
Yeah, and again, that smile is just one of those things that...
Infectious.
Yeah, it's infectious, and you can't help but like that. Now, Chris, I got to ask you here. You've been in the fight game for a while right now. You're the CES welterweight champ. What are your goals here for the sport? Where do you see yourself ultimately going?
I am... Oh, man, like, I'm probably just a flat for this. But, man, I'm here to go up and make money. Like, that is my entire thing in this. I love fighting. I also love fighting because I have children and bills. So my goal is just to make as much money as we can.
Now, having said that, I got to ask you, I know CES, we've had a lot of the guys that perform for the CES promotion on the show. I know that they usually keep their fighters pretty close-knit. They don't really allow them to go out and fight in other promotions. What is your contract situation like with the CES right now?
Well, dude, I can't tell you. I fought for a lot of people, and there's just been I've had a lot of promoters who are just like, man, you know, get locked into a contract, and then you're stuck waiting. The Birchfields and Pat Sullivan from CES have been probably the single greatest promoters I have ever worked with. And they're aware that, you know, I'm a professional boxer as well, and I'll be 30 years old in a few weeks, man. So, like, my time in this sport is nearing its apex. And they've been so supportive in letting me, you know, try to make the most out of this and keep my momentum going. And just, I'm, you know, they know and I know that my ultimate goal is to get in the UFC. They want to put me there, and they want to help me get there. So it's been amazing to, you know, have that support and be allowed to kind of expand and make use of what time I have left. Like, they've been awesome. Like, I can't tell you guys how freaking awesome they've been.
That's really cool to hear, because ultimately what so many of mixed martial artists that are in your position, their ultimate goal is to make the UFC. And so that's cool to hear that the head bosses there at CES are really understand the big picture and have your back.
Well, it's great too, man, because, like, you know, right now they're always in, you know, they love me to death, but they'll be the first ones to say, you know, like, they don't want me to do an easy fight. And it's cool because right now, you know, I just fought Santiago and beat him. So now I believe that having Wallo fight somebody, and I think I get the winner for that, is going to be a title challenge. So they're not just picking random names to throw in there. They're actually going out and finding the best possible matchup of, like, you know, the highest caliber matchup to get me there. So as a fighter, I do appreciate not just being like, oh, hey, go fight Joe Schmo. They're like, we're going to go find somebody that's, you know, going to make you work and going to push you. And that's what makes me as excited as a fighter. So that's kind of cool, too, to where I'm not just in there with anybody. They're making sure that I've got somebody who's going to push me and make me, you know, bring out the best in me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, for anyone that is just tuning in right now, you are the welterweight champ for the CES promotion, which is a big deal. Now, let's move on to talking about your next fight, which is for the Premier MMA Championship title against Portland Pringle. What do you know about Portland? And assess his skill set for us.
I've known Portland for a few years, and I really, like, you know, we're not, you know, trained together, but, you know, we've been in this local circuit the same year. He's one of those guys, every fighter has a guy who they talked about at one point fighting multiple times, and he's never really crossed paths. And, I mean, he's good dude, strong guy. He's got a little bit of a boxing experience, and, you know, he's a decent wrestler. I know he's going to come out there. He's not going to want to stand up. He's going to try to make it a wrestling match. I'm going to punch him really hard and not let him make it a wrestling match. If it does go to the ground, you know, I am 100% sure that I'm a superior ground fighter. He's a good dude. He's on a tear, but, I mean, there are levels in this sport, and I honestly feel like I'm in a different level than he is. So we'll see.
So
he's going to come out here and try to prove me wrong, so we'll definitely see.
So give us a little prediction here. How do you envision this fight ending?
I highly doubt it will pass the first round. We're both being chief of the guys. I think I'm going to stop him in the second, honestly.
Okay. Well, I like it. I know both Brian and myself are looking forward to seeing this matchup. It's going to be one of two champions from different promotions, and this will be – what would this be? Would this be your second belt as a pro?
third.
For your third belt.
Stars belt. But I think it's a no, they're going to stop talking to me. So I still have, I still playing it. So ha.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, look, we definitely need to keep in touch and have you back on the show here in the future. And when you do defend your CES belt, let's make it a point to get you, and I'll do my best to get your opponent on the show as well.
That's awesome. I would definitely look forward to it. Much.
Thank you for coming on today, Chris. We'll talk again soon.
All right, later, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
A little kill switch engaged to end this episode. A big number 55 for you. Gotta love the palindromes. This is My Curse by Kill Switch Engage. They played the Waterfront last year, and I missed it because I had to produce a Senior League World Series game.
Oh, wow.
And it started downpouring. And yeah, that was exactly during the Kill Switch Engage set. And then afterwards, I'd already bought my tickets, and I was like, hey, bro, my buddy was supposed to go, and he got super hammered at the bar and then never showed up. He's like, oh, I just went home. I was like, you son of a bitch. I got to go see Volbeat and Disturbed. I mean, I don't want to, but I bought the tickets already. And then what had happened was they just went home. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just go by my freaking self because no one else had it.
Was this before you and me started doing the show?
No, I think you were doing something or other. Or I don't know. It was back in August of last year.
Oh, okay.
So I just like, screw it, whatever. I'm fed up. I just went by myself. I actually went to the cigar shop, had a cigar outside, talked with a guy who's like, yeah, I'm just out here because I like the music. I literally almost gave him my ticket. I was like, dude, you would probably be better off with this ticket. You would enjoy it more than me, but I was too selfish that day. Looking back, I should have given it to the kid.
Well, you know, you live and you learn. Maybe next time you do the right thing and give it to the kid.
Girls started making out with me. It was very weird. the sad part is I knew her, or I still know her. I guess she's still alive. But, yeah, that was exacerbated everything. So, anyways, that was my experience. Miss Kill Switch. Got made out with by this girl that I probably did not want to make out with. And then left halfway through his terms.
Yeah, well, look, yeah, I mean, things happen. I've had some stories like that too, where I've missed, you know, other things because I've, you know, maybe made out with a girl that I shouldn't have. I don't know. We're not going to go down that road. But remind me to tell you the pudding story at some point.
Oh, you have told me the pudding story.
Okay.
Yeah, off the record.
Okay,
Well, I can't. Well, actually, Ryan, why don't I tell it right now?
No, you're not. You're not going to tell it. We'll just leave it up to our listeners' imaginations.
Let's put it this way. We should do a fundraiser that if we get like $1,000, if people donate $1,000, Ryan will tell the pudding story, and then I will tell an embarrassing story about myself too.
Jeez, would
we sell out for $1,000?
I don't know. Oh, I mean,
$1,000.
Maybe we did a fundraiser.
Here's
I don't know if that would generate enough people to want to hear
1,000?
This story.
$1,000 or this just the pudding story alone?
I don't know if the pudding story is really worth $1,000.
Okay.
I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where it is what it is. I was a young kid. I had too many beverages and
Don't give it out. Okay. I will throw up my Halloween story from college.
Oh, really?
I will throw that out there. Let's put it that way. I went very, very hardcore on that one. So we got that. And also, speaking of concerts, we got Tool coming up next week. So we're looking forward to that one. That should be pretty fun. We can at least have a good experience because we're both going to be going to Tool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
Pretty sick. But not much MMA talk this time around because we got other things to go out and do. We gave you all the best mixed martial arts talk in the last one. And again, coming up next week your way, we're going to be previewing that Big Rig and Barbarian matchup. And
Woo!
It's going to be fun. I can't wait for that one. So until then, you're Ryan Jarrell.
That is me.
I'm Brian Stackpole. Signing off here from the main event. We'll see you next week.
Peace.